Criminal Activity and Moral Decay from the 2005 novel of the same name. The movie is a slow burn without fast and furious fantasy and with little success at the box office, although it may get a bump in the echo from Gosling's upcoming stuntman movie, The Fall Guy. But it did birth a meme and, dare we say, a feeling with the opening song, Night Call.
Are you someone in recovery? Someone struggling with addiction or disordered eating? Or are you simply curious to explore your relationship to alcohol, drugs, and other types of addictive behaviors? The UBC Student Recovery Community is a safe space to connect with others. The SRC provides many types of support, such as drop-in hours, recovery meetings, one-on-one support, and even has a dedicated recovery lounge. The SRC supports all pathways of recovery, from harm reduction to abstinence and everything in between. You can learn more at recovery_UBC on Instagram. And you can also contact the community at src.recovery@ubc.ca. Remember, you're not alone.
You're listening to Movie Maverick Mike and Logan the Extra on CITR 101.9 UBC.
And today we have a special guest with us. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. My name's Bryce. I work with Movie Maverick Mike over at QNX in Burnaby. And I guess the only thing else I got to say about myself is that I love Drive. I love Ryan Gosling movies. And I have a music background with a degree from UVic in music and computer science. But yeah. Most important thing is I love this movie.
So do you have to have a degree to love this movie, or just that gives you a little bit more insight?
Well, into it's it? More qualification than any of us have.
No, I don't think you need a degree at all. I think you just need to, love pure cinema. That's right. Yeah. Something with emotion, some action, something that, has a lot of feeling and, yeah, it's, and of course a lot of people have seen the meme, so. I love the Instagram reels and TikToks based on Drive. So it's, a lot of people have been exposed to it. I don't think it's too hard to like.
I struggled with this movie. I think what I mentioned, the introduction about Fast and Furious, I think coming into this movie, I knew it wasn't going to be, cars going into space and fantastic stunts, but it was so slow that I had a hard time getting into that. But you didn't so much, Bryce.
Well, I mean, with the intro, like with the trailer that was released back in 2011, it kind of illustrates it more as a Fast and Furious movie. But it has a bit of a slow burn right at the beginning. And actually the first time I tried to watch it, I didn't even finish it because it was so slow right after the intro. But that intro actually just captured me right away.
And that's where the Night Call song is, right at the start of the movie, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's right after the intro montage with the, or not montage, but
the credits.
Intro sequence. Yeah, it's during the credits, but the intro sequence is where the main character, the driver, who's not,
has no name.
Has no name. He's just known as the driver. Is driving through LA on this getaway from this this heist, essentially, and he eventually escapes, going to this basketball game,
I believe. Yeah, some sort of event at a stadium or arena. Yeah.
And he sneaks out, and that just with the music and the tension and the cinematography, where it's all inside the vehicle, it just captured me right away. So I love that, but like you said, it is a slow burn after that, but once it gets going, it just does not let up.
I think there's a lot of tension in this movie as it goes. It kind of builds up, and because Ryan Gosling, he went out of his way to make sure that he had very few lines. And even Carey Mulligan, the same way, that she was like, it has to be more about looking, the looks that they give each other and the emotions behind it. So I think that gives a little bit of a, maybe tension is not the right word, but it gives a little bit of expectation because there's so little to that part. So
yeah, so the beginning's a bit like a taste of what's to come, and then the rest of the movie is kind of making you wait for that, I guess.
Yeah, it feels like a tease for, what the rest of the movie might be like, but there's only two car chases, really,
right,
in Drive.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, I guess like 2.5.
Well, they do show some of the stunt work he does.
That's true.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and so at behind the scenes, yeah.
I was thinking when he runs, Hellboy's character.
Oh,
What's
Ron
his name?
Perlman.
Yeah, Ron Perlman. When he runs Nino off the road,
Yeah.
which I guess isn't technically a car chase. It's more of a car
But
murder.
like you say, it's not about the car chases this movie, right? It's about the character.
No,
Yeah.
yeah, but yeah, it
Was this
you almost feel misled from the beginning because it's the only scene really like it in the film.
But you said you were captivated by it, I thought.
Oh yeah, it's well, I mean, the scene itself is just like this 5 minute sort of capsule. It's
Yeah, and they filmed it so that you always almost always are in the car with Ryan Gosling as he's going. So we don't see the helicopter viewpoint. We don't see the part. We feel what he's doing, the decision he makes to turn here to get away from this when he sees the police and all that stuff.
And he has I think he has the rate it's either the radio or this walkie-talkie tune. Well, it
Oh
must be
yeah,
his
listening to
walkie-talkie. Yeah, he's
the police
tuned
reports. Yeah.
exactly. He's listening to the police as they're looking for him. And it just kind of introduces you to his world and his work. That's where you're introduced to his partner Shannon, who runs the auto body shop, I believe.
Is that Bryan Cranston?
Yeah, Bryan Cranston's character. So he you it's a funny shot when he first gets to Shannon's shop because he comes in and they walk by all these fancy vehicles, like these Mustangs, all these muscle cars, and then right at the end is this this really non you know the this very sort of common
Plane.
plain vehicle right at the end of the lot, and that's for the driver. And he says, like, yeah, I forget what the line is exactly, but it's along the lines of, like, no one will notice you,
Oh, I
basically.
see.
So it's like, okay, it's that kind of movie.
Yeah, that's really good to set it apart from other driving movies where it's all about these flashy cars, like you mentioned Fast and Furious before. We're doing a plane car because that makes the most sense, actually,
That's what you'd want in that situation, yeah.
MRG Live presents the moving, heartbreaking, and inspiring Hannah Whipland, live at the Biltmore Cabaret on Saturday, May 4th, with local group Brat Boy. With media comparisons to Alanis Morissette and Stevie Nicks, you don't want to miss out. Get your tickets now at admitone.com.
So, Bryce, what would you like to say about the song in this movie?
So this song, again, Night Call by Kavinsky, it's become a very famous song on TikTok and Instagram because of how it connects to Drive and sort of that kind of masculine, macho, pensive character. And it's been used a lot to it's been used a lot to it's being used a lot on clips of dangerous driving, reckless driving, or people just acting, very very macho.
Oh,
Was that what it was meant for in the movie then? Was that the idea in the movie, or has it kind of been bastardized into that?
Well, it's kind of being taken as this sort of I'm him kind of like people seeing themselves in the character because he is kind of like
The cool guy.
this cool pensive, like he just, he rescues the girl at the end, and I think people see themselves in
Oh,
that,
yeah.
but also just surface level, like, he's an incredible driver, and people, using that kind of image against, people trying to park,
Bizarre
but
thing.
they can't park exactly, so just putting that, just kind of, yeah. But I'd also like to add that the themes of the song, I think, align really well with the film. Like the verse sounds like narration, maybe from the driver when he's saying, "Now I'm going to tell you something you don't want to hear." And then the chorus, to me, kind of represents maybe Carey Mulligan's character, Irene, when she says, "There's something inside of you. It's hard to explain." She's trying to kind of, crack open his shell a little bit.
Yeah, so why don't we give that song a listen?
When we talk about this that song from that movie, was this song at Night Call, was it a hit before this, or was it, did it exist before this movie as far as you know?
So I'm not sure if it existed for long. I'm not sure what the release date was, but it's certainly associated with this movie.
Like, yeah,
it's almost inseparable at this point.
That's a question we always ask, mm-hmm. right, Logan? Is like, is that we try to say, could you think of this song without this movie, or this movie without the song? And I think that's one reason why we wanted to talk about this, is because they're fairly inseparable.
Yeah, like it seemed like even when the movie came out that they were pretty closely connected, because the second track on that EP that Night Call is on, the second track is called Pacific Coast Highway, which is actually where Nino gets run off the road on the Pacific Coast Highway. So it almost kind of follows that beat of the story almost. But even in the credits, the opening credits, where Night Call is playing, like there's a lot of different cuts that are synced up with the music, which is one thing, but there's also like shots like where they're walking, where the steps are also in sync with the music.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, were they listening to this when they were shooting the film? Like, was this song in mind.
That's kind of like Baby Driver, which we covered before, where it's also a driving and getaway driver movie all about music. And I didn't think about that until
Yeah,
now.
and cut to the beat of the
But
music, yeah.
and even like stepping to the beat of the music, I think there's a couple scenes like that in Baby Driver. And when it works, it really works, and it's a really good payoff, I think.
Yeah, it really sells it. I didn't even notice that until like the second time I watched the movie. It's like, oh yeah, that wow, like you would have had to, either
Sync that up, yeah.
sync it up somehow.
Yeah.
Hey there. Do you like sweet and sentimental stories and songs?
Do you enjoy a pleasant chat and a giggle with pals? Then you're gonna love our show, Love Notes, here on CITR 101.9 FM.
Every week, a new guest selects a great love of their life. A sibling, a romantic partner, a best friend, and we get to make a show about the stories and songs that make up their love.
Join us on this journey for the ears and the heart every other Tuesday at 10 a.m.
So speaking of Fast and Furious and movies like that, that's kind of how Drive actually started production. So when the book came out, it's this sort of, I haven't read the book myself, but it's this short novel that's has this brooding atmosphere. It's told in a non-linear fashion, and originally it was going to be turned into sort of Fast and Furious like production, high budget, with Hugh Jackman originally
Oh
in
yeah,
the
that's
role
right.
as driver. Yeah, have you heard about this?
The only that he was he that Gosling took it when Hugh Jackman dropped out.
Yeah, but it was going to be a completely different story.
Like lots of car chases and guns and stuff like that. Was that the idea?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about the specifics, but yeah, it was supposed to be more like Fast and
Bigger,
Furious,
yeah.
essentially. Yeah. And then what happened was, I guess Hugh Jackman had some other sort of commitments, and then it was given to Ryan Gosling, of course, who then he attached it to Nicholas Refn. And apparently, when they first met to talk about the film, and Refn's this Danish director who's
Yeah, this
known
kind of
for,
auteur kind of guy, yeah.
yeah, he's known for these this trilogy called the Pusher series, which is I haven't seen them myself, but they're these pretty brutal, like, very realistic, gritty
Yeah,
films.
I think that's where Mads Mikkelsen got his start, was in one of those
I
Pusher
think it was in the
movies.
second one, yeah, where
Yeah.
he got started.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're these it's an anthology series, so it's like different follows different stories each time. And different characters, but to my understanding, but yeah, I guess Ryan Gosling, yeah, he saw those and was inspired, and yeah, he said, "I got to meet this guy." So Refn came over to Hollywood, not actually for this. It was originally to direct another film that was going to star Harrison Ford,
Oh.
but then that fell through. So he met with Ryan Gosling. Apparently, Refn was feeling very sick during the meeting. It was some sort of lunch date. And he said that he was on this medication and he felt sort of high, sort of, sick and just
Right.
out of it. And Gosling got the impression that this guy doesn't want to talk to me at all. He's not
Not
interested in
interested, yeah.
not interested in the project whatsoever. And then Refn apparently was feeling too cheap to take a taxi back to his hotel. So he asked Ryan, can you drive me back to my hotel? And Ryan's like, geez, like, this
You're
guy
drowning
seems,
yourself.
yeah, like, are you serious? But he's like, okay, this guy seems completely disinterested, and I got to spend another hour with him driving him back to his hotel. Apparently, it was on that drive that it was completely silent until Ryan put on some music. It was some REO Speedwagon that came on. And Refn started singing along to it, like he just kind of broke down. He was away from his family. He's feeling sort of vulnerable. And then he said, like, I know what this movie's about. This is a guy who, the only way he can feel anything is by driving and listening to pop music. And so that's kind of, where
The
the
essence of
aesthetic
art, yeah.
for that film came out. And, that's Night Call, I guess it's one of those songs.
That's an interesting point too, because Ryan Gosling's character is enigmatic, but he's not very charismatic, as opposed to the other stunt driver movies where they're all larger than life, including his new one, The Fall Guy. You get the feeling that. But yeah, I'd heard that they wanted his character to be a loner and kind of disassociated from other people because he's only comfortable and behind a wheel or something like that. So yeah.
Yeah, like he's essentially, yeah, like a machine. He's,
Oh yeah. fits in there.
You know, I guess you could say that. Yeah, he's sort of emotionally disconnected, and driving is kind of the one thing he can use to connect with people, and the one thing he's useful for. And
yeah, so really like that lunch date with Ryan Gosling. Then that he felt, yeah, suddenly they're not really seeing eye to eye. They're not having the best time. But then, get it on the road, play some music, and that's when you be yourself, I guess.
Yeah, that's when he opened up. Yeah, so that's kind of a, you know, interesting.
Yeah,
origin to that film.
Yeah, no, it's to me, looking back at the cast, I mean, I remember Carey Mulligan. I think she's been Oscar nominated in the past, and you know, she's still going strong. But if you look at the cast, Gosling, Mulligan, Bryan Cranston, Albert Brooks, Oscar Isaacs, I forgot he was in this movie.
Oh, right.
Ron Perlman playing, you know, heavy as he usually does. Albert Brooks, who plays this kind of, if I remember right, it's kind of weaselly, hard nosed kind of guy.
So he plays Bernie Rose, which is this, he's a Jewish American mobster who works with Nino. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, he's pretty good at that. So that cast right there is, you know, that's six or seven pretty strong actors and pretty accomplished actors too. I think, I don't know if we've, have we talked about Bryan Cranston before, Logan, and some of that stuff?
I want to say we have, but I can't think of the time though. I can't think of it.
Because he's one of those guys that he was in, what was it, Malcolm in the Middle, right?
Yeah.
And then he was in shows like Godzilla and stuff like that. So he's one of those rare actors that people will accept as the heavy. And when he gives a speech, it says, we're going to go down there and kill those guys. You're like, yeah, Brian, let's do that. And then he could be falling down funny and you know, putting his face in a chili kind of guy.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of actors that get accepted as both, right? So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was reading about, not to go on too much of a tangent, but I remember I was reading about Breaking Bad.
Right.
And why Bryan Cranston was chosen. And Vince Gilligan said that he saw this episode of The X-Files, where Bryan Cranston is playing this some sort of like racist, you know, phobic character. And, you know, they'd never seen that from Bryan Cranston before. And he totally bought it. It's like, this is the guy
that you can tap into that.
Can play Walter White. But yeah, of course, you know, this film came out, Drive came out, I think it was like
2011.
Yeah, 2011. So that would have been like second last season of Breaking Bad or something, third last.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was big, but yeah, I mean, he could play whatever.
Besides Gosling, was there anybody else in the cast that stuck out for you, or anybody else that resonated?
Yeah, I really liked specifically two of the characters. So Albert Brooks' character, Bernie Rose, that you brought up, I liked his character because, you know, initially he seems like this really sort of slimy, nasty guy, and you know, his character is. He has this moment after, am I allowed to, can I just give a spoiler?
Yeah, we do. Sometimes we preface our show and say, we assume you've seen the movie by the time you come to hear our show. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So spoiler alert. When he kills Shannon, you know, it's, he comforts him like, during the act, like he, you know, like as he's dying, it's like, it's okay. And then he goes home and it just kind of follows Bernie Rose and just kind of him grieving his friend
that he had to kill.
And it's like, okay, here's a guy who, you know, like the driver, he's kind of like a stone wall, essentially. Mm. But in his private moments, he has this emotional sort of sensitivity and feeling and you know, this kind of isolation as well. And then besides Bernie Rose, I also liked Oscar Isaac's character,
right. Yeah.
Standard,
right,
who's this he's introduced after he comes out of prison, and he's of course you know, the wife of Ryan Gosling's character's neighbor,
Carey Mulligan.
And you're not too sure how to feel about the guy.
Yeah, is he an abusive husband, or is he?
What was he in for?
Yeah. Do they still love together, or is this a marriage of convenience? Yeah.
Yeah, but he also he has a side of him too that's kind of isolated, and he wants to take care of his son. He wants to take care of Carey Mulligan's character, Irene, and he's, you know, torn up and split, and you know, it kind of seems like he just made some mistakes in life and kind of ended up where he did. So it's not this completely single tone, one-sided character. He has some depth to him too, like the driver and Bernie.
Yeah, and that forms the belated love triangle between Ryan Gosling's driver, who stumbles upon Carey Mulligan and their son, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my husband's in jail, yada yada, and then Oscar Isaac's character shows up, and then okay, where does this lead the main? It's a very hands-off romance. It's a lot of looking at each other across the room.
A lot of brooding.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
most of this film.
Yeah, that's the brooding. That what you would, yeah.
Either extremely violent or just quiet, pensive brooding. Yeah.
Yeah, I
not
remember
much in between.
Carey Mulligan, she said, when they asked her what it was like filming Drive, she said, mostly it was me looking longingly at Ryan Gosling. And I think she said it in a way like, yeah, I can do that, like as a compliment. You know,
right,
like,
right.
Yeah,
that's how I watched the movie too.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, when you get a lot of, you talked about it, it's a really good cast. And if you get a lot of them together, you can have a more subtle movie where you're getting more depth out of the characters. Like you said, not as one-dimensional. So yeah, it really helps when you get a really good cast behind it that you can pull off this kind of movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it, because I was reading that the director, Refn, what he would do is he would have, he's very interactive with the cast. He would have them pitch ideas to him about their characters and, you know, what they saw in the character, how they'd like to portray the scene. Like, if the scene could be anything, what would you like it to be? And I think that kind of interaction too with a cast that wants to get involved that way and is interested in what their character brings to the story,
right.
Not be cliche, but like what's their motivation.
It helps bring a little more truth to the characters and it makes them easier for them to bounce off each other than
mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just yeah. makes it, yeah, bring some authenticity. Yeah.
The other part of this movie I struggled with was the ending, and I don't recall it because it's been a while since I've seen it, but it seems to me it just ends. Do I have that right then?
Yeah, it is a very abrupt ending. Like,
frustrating is a word that I had in mind.
Okay,
like I say, it's been a while since I've seen it.
I mean, yeah, it.
Again, it's spoiler alert. You can describe it if you want.
Well, yeah. So basically. What I think you're talking about is a scene right at the end where Bernie and the driver meet up to collect the money that the driver's been holding.
Oh, right.
By, you know, basically a heist went wrong. He's returning the money and then he's stabbed by Bernie and then he stabs Bernie back and Bernie dies and then the driver is essentially dying in the front seat of his car, and it has this long shot
yeah.
on Ryan Gosling's face of him just not blinking, and it's assumed that he's dead, but then he blinks, and he just essentially drives off into the night. It does feel abrupt, but honestly, it...
You're okay with that, then?
There's no more story left to tell, you know? I mean...
He's stabbed, he's driving away, he's got the money?
No, he left the money.
Okay.
It's never about the money. Yeah.
Oh, you could see. Now I'm learning more about this movie as we go here. Yeah. I guess I watched it the wrong way.
Yeah, you'll have to give another watch after this.
Yeah. Yes. You're listening to that song from that movie on CITR 101.9 FM. Thank you to our guest, Bryce, for joining us today. I'm Movie Maverick Mike, and you can find me on Facebook or Instagram.
I'm Logan the Extra, and you can find a recording of this episode and all of our episodes on CITR.ca. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you later.
Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring. Ring with the